Hey, you're listening to Sonic Podcast Adventure, a special live episode recording from my charity stream to benefit the Trans Legal Defense and Education Fund. My name is Sean Easton, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host.
I forgot my name for a second. I'm Chris.
That's fine.
I thought I was Cameron.
Yeah. I mean, I can put the Cameron the Hedgehog image back up. this is just like a little bonus episode. I'm recording this live during a live stream. Thank you to everyone for tuning in right now. And thank you for everyone who's donated so far. Hope to get more donations going throughout the rest of the stream. This will just be a Q&A. If anyone wants to donate right now for a Q&A, they can. And while we're waiting for those, we can talk about the Sonic 30th anniversary. What big news is there to talk about right now?
Oh, boy. The 30th anniversary comic came out today, and yes. No spoilers, but it is very good.
I haven't gotten a chance to read it because I've been doing this all day, but I'm very excited, especially with all the stuff Reggie had told us about on their episode.
God, yeah, Reggie, like, oh my God, all the work in it is so good, and there's so many things that I pointed out. I was like, oh yeah, this is probably what Reggie was talking about many little Easter eggs and references there are.
Does it ever we can go into spoilers if we want.
I don't want to know. Because I want to give people the chance to read
it. Okay, I just want to know, is it explained why Sonic's like, the reason why I want to learn how to drive is chili dogs?
Yeah, it's explained.
Okay, because it's such a, I feel like, and I know it's like, I know I'm just exaggerating a little bit for internet comedy, but like, it's so ominous that the reason you want to drive is not to get chili dogs, to go buy chili dogs, anything like with a verb attached to chili dogs. It's just chili dogs.
I mean, it's a good tease. Like, yeah. You're going to get people reading of, like, what is it about chili dogs that's making him want to drive? So, yeah. I mean, there's no better way to tease it than by not giving the full answer.
Exactly. I can't wait to read that then. Do you know all the people who are involved in it? Let me bring up a window that we can read those off. And
Let me open it up on my Comixology real quick. Because it has the credits page right in the opening. There's so many people who were involved with this issue.
Let's see.
Let's see. Yeah, here we go. So, writers, there's three different stories in there. And the writers were Ian Flynn, Gail Galligan, and then the McElroys. So, Clint, Justin, Travis, and Griffin. Pencils in Ian Flynn's story by Aaron Hammerstrom, line art by Thomas Roethlisberger and Tracy Yardley, inks by Reggie Graham and Matt Froes, F-O-R-E-S-E, colors by Reggie. Sonic Learns to Drive, story by the McElroys, art by Mauro Fonseca, and colors by Valentina Pinto. And then Dr. Eggman's Birthday, story by Gail Galligan, art by Thomas Roethlisberger, and colors by Natalie Fordrain. Letters by Sean Lee, assistant editor Riley Farmer, and editor David Maria.
Hell yeah. I got a follow from Jishi Lai. Thank you for following. And also, I got a donation from Griffin, who didn't show up to... who didn't show up to the Price is Right drop and ring segment that I did earlier today, and donated $25 as a result, and he's making me eat the gummy chili dog. So here we can get some nice ASMR for the podcast listeners. Oh, there we go. Did you enjoy that? I can see the look on your face.
I like ASMR. I didn't enjoy that. I'll say that much.
No, you. I'd be worried if you did, to be honest.
Also, apologies if you hear my stomach grumbling during this. I just had two chili dogs about 30 minutes ago. So that's happening.
I mean, what other better? Like, now that's the ASMR that we're all interested, I think.
God.
What else happened today? Did you see the images for Sonic Prime?
I kind of don't want to talk about those because it was a break of an NDA, want to jeopardize something.
Fair. That's fair. Let's just say that the concept art looks nice, and I hope the series looks like that. Oh, thank you for following me, Sleeping Tsunade 2. Sindari. Sindari, thank you. I read it wrong. Yeah, so I guess let's not talk about, well, I guess the leaks are the news, kind of, but otherwise...
Yeah, there was concept art that leaked, but I don't want to talk about that because it's somebody broke an NDA and a lot of animators and not even just animators, people who are involved in the production are probably going to get yelled at because somebody broke their NDA.
Yeah,
so, unfortunately, let's just skip it.
Okay, let's see. What else do we have in terms of Sonic news? We have a few... Yeah, go for it.
The symphony was today.
Yes, it was wonderful.
Oh, my God. My roommate was gone during the Crush 40 segment, but when they started playing I Am All of Me, I screamed in my apartment.
Oh, man. Oh, God, the stream schedule made it so we had to skip the Crush 40 part, which is such a bummer, but I cannot wait to watch that later.
There's two songs where they do like the full rock band along with the orchestra, and it's so beautiful. That's my favorite kind of music, and it's so damn good.
I could hear it from Rouse, Christian says, Mike. what songs did the Crush 40 bit do?
Or oh my God, Nate. The second half or the first half of the symphony was medleys of the classic games, which they also did medleys for the Game Gear games and the Sega Saturn games, which is really cool because they did orchestral versions of some songs from Sonic R, which is the best Sonic soundtrack, we've all agreed. And they also did like Tails Adventure, which is amazing. Then there was an intermission, and then at the end they did the second half was they started with two remixes of Reach for the Stars and Speak with Your Heart. The Speak with Your Heart one was incredible. It's so good.
So much, like, I'm not usually a fan of just like symphony stuff, and like, you know, every time I see like the Kingdom Hearts is in concert, I'm like, I could do without it. But like this, I was just like, wow, this music sounds great as an orchestra.
I adore video game symphonies. Like, I've seen the Legend of Zelda one when the newest game was Triforce Heroes, so way before Breath of the Wild. Excuse me. And I saw the Final Fantasy Distant Worlds one in New York, and both of those, like, made me cry. They were so beautiful, and I freaking bawled at the Undertale symphony that happened last year.
Oh, yeah.
The live-streamed one. That one was beautiful. So, like, I love going to see, or just sitting down and watching, if it's virtual, live orchestral music. Especially when you're taking like an 8-bit song or like a chiptune song and doing a full symphonic version of it. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was really wonderful. So what did they do for the Crush 40 bit?
So for Crush 40, they started with Open Your Heart. I can't think of the ones in order, but they did Open Your Heart. They did Sonic Heroes. They did Green Light Drive or Green Light Ride from Team Sonic Racing. I Am All of Me. Sonic Boom. They did a cover of Sonic Boom.
Yeah, their cover is really good. We ranked it pretty high, and we did the Crush 40 tier ranking.
yeah, like it was great. It was a big surprise too. I didn't expect that one. Night of the Wind, which is also a one I didn't expect.
Another favorite.
And then I believe they're. I think that was it for those. But their encore was Escape from the City. Which was sung by Nate Wants to Battle, who also did Endless Possibility.
That was a cool get for the stand-ins. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I love Nate Wants to Battle. So his two covers in this orchestral or in this symphony were great. But then they ended with Live and Learn.
Hell yeah.
And the Live and Learn one was just, it's so good.
It's such a banger.
It was those last two, the Escape from the City and Live and Learn, where it was the rock band and the orchestra doing it together, and it was just fucking incredible.
hell yeah. God, I cannot believe we missed that like by a few minutes too, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I mean, it's recorded and it's on the Sonic YouTube, so you can watch it literally anytime. I've already watched it twice.
Like, I'm doing this all day. I'm gonna be like, having done this for like 10 hours, I'm still going to like be here on my computer when this is all done and watch that. Like,
oh yeah.
Looks like I'm gonna open up the chat to Q&A if they want to ask us anything about Sonic while we talk a little bit more about what's going on. I guess like something I'll ask you, and I guess something we can both answer, is like, what I know it's a cheesy question, what does 30 years of Sonic mean to you?
Oh my god, I had a whole thread about this earlier.
Oh, hell yeah.
So obviously I'm 26 years old. I turned 27 over the weekend. So my birthday is around Sonics.
Yeah.
Thank you. My birthday is on Sunday. My birthday is around Sonics, which being my favorite, one of my favorite fictional characters, has always been like very special to me. I'm like, oh, my birthday is so close to my hero. Oh man, Sonic, I've explained before, but Sonic was the first game I remember playing. The first two games on the Genesis, because my older brother was born in the late 80s. So we had a Genesis growing up instead of an SNES. And I remember playing Sonic 1 and 2. I remember playing multiplayer with Sonic 2 with him a lot, where I was Tails, which is probably why Tails is my favorite character. But, God, like, I loved watching Sonic X growing up, and Sonic X led me to meet one of my best friends, who I'm still friends with to this day. I drew Sonic all the time as a kid. I don't know, like... It's one of those things that's just a constant in my life, no matter the age. I've always been a Sonic fan. It's always been there for me and like motivates me. Like, God, you won't be able to see it in the audio recording, obviously, but on the video, I have the Sonic Amiibo.
Oh my God!
I have the little Sonic Nendoroid. I stole this from our bookshelf. I think this is Mike's, but there's a little Sonic plushie sitting right here. I have a bunch of games. I have a framed original comic page from Tyson Hess. I've got a print up there above my bookshelf where it's Sonic jogging with a headband and it says no pain, no gain. And that's what motivates me to exercise.
That's very good.
Yeah, that was a Tyson print, so that one, like, I always keep up, and I'm like, yeah, I want to be like Sonic and run, but I can't run because I have asthma. But, but like, 30 years of Sonic to me, I don't know, because for me, it's 27 years of Sonic, but,
yeah.
Like, it's been a constant in my life, and the music is inspiring, the character is inspiring. Like I've said before, Sonic is just one of those things where if I ever got to work on literally one thing official that's Sonic, I would die happy because I don't know, I've loved him so much and I'm like, oh man, I just want to help. As much as I love him, I want to help bring something into reality.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, 30 years of Sonic for me is... let's see, the good way to describe it is just like, I don't know, reach for the stars. I think that's a good way to say it. Like, he very much motivates and inspires me to just keep going.
Yeah. I have a pretty similar thing. I'll keep it brief because we got our first question from Mike. Sonic is like means a lot to me, like both like just as like a kid, childhood love, like literally one of the first things that got me to love video games, and also like kind of laid the groundwork for how I tell stories, because like the Sonic animated series is like my first animated series obsession, the Sat AM series, and stuff like that. Now as an adult, who has like learned more about my ADHD, he became a character that is like I resonate so hard with, as like its character moves fast and like sometimes feels bored by like everyday things, but like is still like good at heart and like is, you know. It just, there's just a lot of ADHD metaphor, especially with the recent movie. And also like Sonic has become a big part of my career. Like not only like being able to do this podcast with you, but also like all of like the writing I did for Verve and then later Fanbyte became like a big launch for my career, and also got me to love Sonic once again. So it's so freaking wild that this character is still so beloved, and probably even more beloved today than he was at any point. 30 more years, 100 years. So we got our first question from Mike, Big Ginger Ale fan. What is your dream Sonic project? Nothing off limits. You go ahead first.
Oh boy. Like to work on or just like to see?
Let's go both.
To see? Man, I don't know. Like he just yelled in because we're roommates, so he just yelled in general.
Perfect.
Dream Sonic project in general. I don't know. Like I love the storytelling of the adventure games. I don't know, something like that, like maybe as an animated series. It's the same thing with the storytelling for the IDW comics. They're very similar. I don't know. Sonic is such a big franchise. There's just so many different areas you can tell a story with. But I don't know, something probably more along the lines of Adventure and Adventure 2. I don't know, like something with a lot of emotion and good storytelling that's not afraid of being like
a little goofy or
earnest and cheesy, you know?
Yeah, a little swinging for the fences too. I think that's in general like a big thing that's kind of missing. And I hope if Sonic Rangers or whatever it's going to be called is an open world game, I hope they swing for the fences. And honestly, it's okay if they fail. Like, they're trying shit again. They're throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah, like Takashi Iizuka said that he's hoping that this game will change the formula of Sonic.
Yeah, that's another thing last we need one... to talk about. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, because that's a great thing to hear from like Sonic Team, is that like Sonic Adventure 2 changed the series into be like this really weird exploration of deep themes and darker stories and big worlds and stuff like that. So having the confidence that then this next game is going to do that for the next 20 years of Sonic is really cool.
Yeah, I'm crossing my fingers that they do something really dope. I would love that if we just got something that just totally blew my mind.
Yeah. So I pretty much echo that your sentiments, like just something new from Sonic that is swings the fences, and also an animated series that like takes what people love about the games and does it in a very very well animated long form way. Like, I want half hour episodes. As much as I love the shorts, half hour full episodes would be great.
Agreed.
Yeah. And then sleeping. Oh my God! How do you say it again? Sleeping.
Tsundere.
Tsundere. Thank you. Sleeping Tsundere 2 asks, what new direction would you guys hope the next big game will take? I think we covered that a little bit, but I think open world. I don't know how I feel about open world. I know a lot of people like really want open world game for Sonic, and like have like played those fan games that do that, and I think they can be fun. And people are like, oh, what if you Breath of the Wildify Sonic? I'm like, Sonic, like the running mechanics of Sonic are kind of better when they're a little bit on rails, because then you get to feel like you're like blazing through a track versus no direction. And you know how much people complain about how slip and slide Sonic is already put that in an open world? I don't think it's going to mix well.
Yeah, I sort of agree, because like his speed means you're going to have to make the overworld or whatever the open world is very big for him to be able to like have enough like room to go through. Like, you can't design an open world like God of War and have Sonic the Hedgehog running around it. You could, and I would play it, but it probably wouldn't work well. Yeah. but yeah, like, I don't know. I'm hearing that they like there's theories that they're going to go on a Breath of the Wild route, which I don't know how to feel about that, because I don't know, like, I just don't know if that really works with Sonic, because like
if the whole thing is like you go where you're needed, I'm okay with that. But and like, I guess you can fast travel by boosting around the whole map. I'm okay with that, but there should still be levels, I think.
Yeah, like I don't know, they tried really big open hub worlds with Sonic 06, and, like, I know that game has a mountain of problems, but those open worlds, like Soliana and, like, the village and stuff, or, like, the forest and stuff, they were very big and pretty empty, and there's definitely a way you can have an open world that's, like, that feels lived in, but I just don't know if it'll work with Sonic, because even when they tried to do hub worlds in the PS3 and Xbox versions of Unleashed, those were still pretty small, and I mean, I was fine with that.
But I
don't know. I would just like the storytelling to go a little bit more in the direction of the IDW comics and the adventure games.
Make the stakes kind of fit more, like, or feel more real, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think they're a little bit afraid to do like the cartoony thing of like, oh, the world's in peril. It's like, no, the world's in peril works for a game. Like, because you're going to, oh, hold on. We got a camera issue there. The world's in peril works for whatever you need, you know, for a Sonic game. Mike also asks, Sonic Mania saw the return of a lot of things, characters, mechanics, mean beans. What from the series do you not want to return? I'm kind of done with side-scrolling segments in 3D Sonic gameplay.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I think having just played some more Generations today, if they do it, they need to make it still as like open, like, because it's like old Sonic games work as platformers where like you're a little bit condensed and you have to find your way to the faster route and stuff like that. That's fine. I think in Sonic 3D gameplay, it just feels like a punishment. Where, like, okay, there's this big open stretch of road, you're zooming around, and then side turn, you're like, jump, hop, wait for the platform, hop, and then you're back to zooming. It feels like it's slowing you down more than it needs to.
Yeah, I think there's a way to execute it well enough, like, maybe try to make it a little bit more like the Sonic Advance layout.
Yes.
Because I remember these side-scrolling segments in the modern stages of Generations. There will be moments where there was just a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
And I understand it's a platforming game and like the classic games did that, but there's certainly a way to build upon that formula.
Yeah. And the boost does nothing in side scrolling too. The boost just feels completely useless, and it's exactly where you want to use it in the most frustrating parts that you don't want to have to navigate. If you use boost, it's like there's still high platforms and waiting and jumping. It's just, I think it's something they can push out of the series, to be honest.
Or find, yeah, a better, I agree, way
to do. Yeah.
Another thing I don't want to see return is just the exclusive focus on Sonic and Tails, because I love everybody else.
Big agree.
Like,
yeah.
Ever since Colors, they've been very much focusing on Sonic and Tails, and I would like to see the rest of them get their time to shine. Yeah,
especially because like what worked so well about how cheesy the story was for like Adventure and Adventure 2 is that there were multiple perspectives and everybody had a stake, and like the dominoes kind of fell into place into a larger story. Like if those characters weren't there, the story wouldn't feel so big stake, and like it's affecting big stakes or high stakes. It wouldn't feel like it was affecting as much if it was just Sonic and Tails.
Yeah, you've got a whole bunch of colorful characters, all with very distinct and unique personalities that are going to butt heads, and that's what makes a story interesting, when characters have different perspectives.
We want more Bark the Polar Bear.
Have to work together. What's up?
I said we want more Bark the Polar Bear. We demand... Dear Sega.
All right. I wouldn't mind having more Bark.
Yeah.
More Bark, more Being the Dynamite.
Yeah. More of the weird characters, like, and I think too, like you said, more storytelling from IDW, like, make it feel like there's more than just like levels, like make it feel like there's cities and outposts in all parts of the world, and that the levels consist of those areas. That was another thing that Adventure did, maybe not all the levels, but a lot of the city levels are like, no, you're just running around this city. There's not just randomly ramps here. There's not randomly a level here. You're actually running around a place that exists. I think something with six managed to do that actually pretty decently. Sonic Unleashed as well, like it felt like these places were real and not just like built for Sonic for a large majority of the levels. And it's never been perfect to that direction, but I think there's a way to do it where it works like a level but doesn't look like one, but also still feels like, you know, visually telling you where to go and guiding your eye and stuff like that.
No, I get that. Like I've said before, there's some really good level design in Sonic Lost World, and I think there's a good way you can do level design like that, and then level design like you're talking about, like Unleashed, where like it feels like a real lived-in place.
You run through the
city. I think there's a way to do both. I'm just not sure what it is, frankly.
Yeah,
because I'm not a level designer.
But again, the way that Sonic achieves some of the best stuff it has had to offer is just throwing stuff at the wall. And I think a good way to conclude this short little bonus episode is talk about, like, let's hope the new Sonic games bring more shit thrown at the wall.
Yeah, like, seriously, I will be with Sonic no matter what, pretty much, like, through 06,
yeah.
through everything, like, I've still stuck with him, because I like when they try to experiment and do interesting things, and, like, most of the time it doesn't fully succeed, and they keep trying to change and like give Sonic these like little gimmicks, trying to find out what will work and what doesn't. But again, it makes it so much more interesting to me than something like Mario, because Mario, as good as those games are, like, I don't know, I kind of feel more Boy, I don't know how this is going to be. I kind of feel more like I feel more interested to go back to like Sonic Adventure and those games than I do Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, because Sonic Adventure kind of has like it's shoving its entire ambition in your face, and Mario Odyssey is trying to solidify a very milquetoast character.
I like Odyssey a lot. It's a very ambitious game that I think does a very good job, but I don't know. I'm just not pressed to go back to it again.
Yeah, that's fair. So more weird ambition and big swings and experimenting from Sonic, I think, is the whole is a good way to end it on. We are going to move on to the next segment, but thank you for joining for this special live recording of Sonic Podcast Adventure. Christian's going to be back. They're going to be playing an all Smash Sonic with me and who else is joining us? It's
Cameron.
I think
who's going to fucking murder us.
I think Quay is joining us as well. So thank you for listening. You know our usual promotion, so go follow us and go follow the podcast at Sonic Pod. And thank you for listening.